Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
One of the top experts in early football rules history, Timothy P. Brown, joins us once again this Tuesday to research the evolution of the football field press box, as well as other communications on the sidelines. We see this happening every game we go to, but knowing the history of it, well, it's just something special. Tim joins us in just a moment to tell us all about it.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another edition where we get to visit with Timothy P. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com, talking about one of his recent tidbits. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Darren, good to see you again and hear your sultry voice.
Sultry?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Hey, you talk to me like that, fella, you're going to have to buy me a drink.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've never been in the same room with one another. And so, someday someday that will happen, and yeah, I will buy you a drink.
Most definitely. I'll buy you one back, too. So we might not be seeing each other for very long. It'd be blurry. But we'll have some fun, that's for sure. But we will communicate. And yes, that's sort of the topic of tonight's episode, where you wrote a tidbit not too long ago about press boxes and some communication with the sideline and from yesteryear. And this is very interesting stuff and some great football history that we can't wait to hear.
Yeah, so this one, as you said, it's about press boxes and, you know, kind of the physical structure of the press boxes. And then, you know, how did people on the sideline communicate with press boxes, either the coaches that were ultimately made their way up there or the folks in the press. And so, you know, not to shamelessly plug my book, Hut Hut Hike, but, you know, that book is about the origins of football terminology, you know, when they first showed up in the popular press and kind of why they came about. And so virtually every stadium in the world has box seats, right? And those were box seats and press boxes. Those were terms that originally came from the theater world, where, you know, people paid premium prices to be closer to the stage. And then in the case of the press, you know, they wanted whoever were the movie critics of the day, but instead were doing, you know, live shows, they would come and watch the show. And so they'd get a favorable spot to do so. And so then that carried over to the football world and the baseball world. So, you know, when stadiums ended up needing to find a place to put these, the members of the press, and, you know, early on, you know, most of these stadiums were pretty informal, you know, slapped together, you know, wooden bleachers and yada, yada. So, you know, the press boxes were pretty much of this, you know, similar ilk. So, you know, there's images, you know, so, you know, those who are listening, you know, if you get a chance, get out there and, you know, take a look at some of the images on from the article. But you know, some of them were as simple as just a table along the sidelines where these guys sat and, you know, watched the game and made, you know, took their notes.
That image that you have on there of that almost reminds me of almost like a basketball game. How, you know, you're right side court or sideline, and you know field view, and guys sitting there writing stats down and newspaper articles. So that's kind of a cool picture.
Yeah, and a lot of times, there were other tables along a sideline like that that oftentimes had like the official timer. You know, so depending on the stadium, they could sometimes offload some of the timing from the head linesman to somebody on the sideline. But in any event, so then they started kind of in the same periods, they started putting these press boxes up at the top of the stands. But like, they're not like the fancy air conditioned and heated press boxes of today with all kinds of internet connections. I mean, a lot of them were, basically open air. You know, they might have had a roof. Some of the images that are in there show a press box with a roof and others without, but a lot of them were open air. Some are basically just like, just look like, they're up on scaffolding, so they were pretty primitive affairs. And depending on how big the game was and, what the local press corps was like, it could be a half a dozen guys or it could be, whatever, 20, 30, 40. And then, once you get into the concrete stadiums, starting in the, especially in the 20s, then you start getting a little bit more formality around the press box. But the other challenge all along, so no matter what the, no matter what the era, one of the challenges, not just for the press, but for fans in general, was just trying to figure out what the heck is going on down on the field. And so what they would do is, for a long time, there were guys who used like semaphore flags or, just different kinds of signals. They'd communicate one way or the other to the people in the press box, like to one guy in the press box, and say, hey, here's, number 22 ran the ball, or this was a touchdown, or this was a touchback or a safety, because those were very difficult to differentiate back in the day. This is the days without oftentimes no player numbers and no referee signals. And actually a lot of the reason for the referee signals was to, when that originated, was to communicate to the press. People also were smart enough to figure, hey, we had these things called telephones, and Penn had at least some form of telephone communication with the press box back in the 1890s. Wow. But a lot of them, didn't have that. I think there was much more of a 20s and 30s era when that really started happening. So there's images there too of in the article of, coaches, and typically it's just one coach on the sideline who's got a phone or a headset, and he's talking to somebody who's observing things up, up high. And that's back when you didn't have an offensive and defensive coordinator yet. You had a head coach and maybe a defensive coach, but, the guys who were playing offense were playing defense too. So, you didn't need the specialization. So one guy talking to the spotter up high, was enough. It's just kind of interesting stuff, and you can kind of see the progression. The technology, gets better and better, and and now it's like, everybody's got their headsets. They don't even need the cords and all that kind of stuff. So it's things are different than they used to be.
Well, I mean, some of it is now, like you said, sort of stayed as tradition. I know as an official, we were, that's who we are signaling to. We are to face the press box and signal to the press box for, now it's basically the official scorekeepers and PA announcer, mm-hmm. not so much the press, but signaling to that. And then the home crowd is usually on that side, and they get to see the signals. And of course the visitors, they get upset. Maybe they can't see them as clear, but that's how you do it traditionally. And, as far as the evolution of the press box, I think I've told the audience this before, and I apologize if I have, but a couple of years ago, I got to go to Tom Benson Stadium outside the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the enshrinements. And I was part of the media. I got to sit up in a press box, and I couldn't believe it. I've been in a lot of like high school press boxes and college press boxes. This thing has marble tables with, you know, like you said, the internet connections, you have USB ports and Ethernet cables, and, you know, somebody asking if you need anything. You know, I was expecting to see like pencils and paper, but no, everybody had a laptop computer, and there's a little buffet set up, and, you know, at least the NFL takes good care of you at the Hall of Fame weekend anyway. But
yeah,
it was very impressive how the press box was. I wanted to live there. You know, it was nice.
Yeah. No, I mean, it just, everything's changed.
Yeah, most definitely.
And it's, you know, it's funny too, even, you know, like the difference between, say, D3 level amenities and D1 or the NFL, just it's night and day. I mean, the D3 people are going to do their best, and they're going to, you know, with the limited money that they have to spend, they're going to do some nice things. And, you know, it's just 10 times better than what we had, you know, back in the day. But, you know, it's crazy.
They're still out there. Some of the less fortunate high schools. I know I went to one, I had to do an evaluation of some officials that were doing it. So I sat up in the press box, and it was one of those ones made out of plywood, and you had to open up the plywood door. And the guy set down a can of wasp spray next to me. He goes, every once in a while, you may have to hit this to get rid of this thing. I'm like, I'm looking, there's like wasp nests up in the corner. I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be fun. And there was a hot box, of course, too. So it was good times. But between that and Tom Benson Stadium, there's a little bit difference there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's okay. That's
yeah. Okay. But Tim, that is another beauty that you came up with. It's a very interesting. Go back in the 1890s, you know, thinking about them using, you know, telephone communication at a football game at Penn. Yeah. You know, that blows my mind. And you know, most people never saw them in their houses at that point in time. I don't think in the 1890s, right around the turn of the century when they became more popular. But you have interesting things like this every day in your tidbits and, you know, football related. And it's just great to do it. And a lot of it ties into history, like today's did a little bit with the telecommunications. And, you know, people love to hear that stuff and read that stuff. Why don't you share with them where they too can enjoy this?
Yeah. So, you know, the easiest thing is just subscribe to my, subscribe on, you know, footballarchaeology.com. It's free to subscribe. You'll get an email every day with whatever that day's story is. And, you know, kind of read them at your leisure, or read them the moment they come out. And then, or don't read them, whatever is your preference. You can also, you know, follow me on Twitter, on Threads, and on the Substack app. So any of those will work. So whatever suits your fancy.
All right. Well, Tim, excellent job once again. Footballarchaeology.com is the website. Timothy Brown is his name. And we will talk to you again next week on Tuesday.
Hey, thank you. We'll see you soon, Darren.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here. But we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines. So be sure to tune in.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.